Unless you already come full of the Holy Spirit, then you know you can leave full of the Holy Spirit. But if you come hopeless, you can leave hopeful. Hopeless means no hope. Hopeful means full of hope. And since he's the God of hope, let's see what Romans has to say. So much to say about hope in the book 24 and 25. I believe it's real, don't you? Hope is real. It's unseen, but it's real. In the Amplified Bible, it says, "For in this hope we were saved by faith." We're saved by faith, right? By grace through faith. It's a gift. But hope, the object of which is seen, is not hope. So if you see it, it's not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? Very simple. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait eagerly for it with patience and composure. Patience and composure. Those are two tough, tough words, right? We could talk tongue-in-cheek about hope all day long, but patience is a whole other thing. So there's four ways to know that my hope is real. I just want you to know, I feel like my hope is real. Jesus is not a fairy tale. Heaven is for real. And if heaven is for real, hell is for real. And if God is real, then the devil is real. And eternity is real, right? So my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, right? So I believe it's real. How many of you feel like hope is real? It's real. And before you leave today, we'll get try to help you understand that. The first thing you need to understand is that I must hold on to my redemption. Yes, he says, "For in this hope we were saved." You know, before I got saved, I was an 18-year-old young man, born and raised religious, Catholic, didn't even go to that church. So it wasn't like I was, you know, really faithful and devout. That was just my affiliation, okay? But really, I was hopeless, had no future. I went to high school by the grace of God, got out of high school. How many glad you made it? How many made it through high school, didn't think you were? Like the last day when you were in the gym and they were calling everybody's name to graduate, you were biting your nails. Yeah, that's kind of the way it was. I hope I make it. I hope I make it. In fact, my shop teacher played a trick on me and called me to shop class to tell me I didn't finish my project. And then he had me where I was like just about like distraught because I wasn't going to graduate. And then he said, "Ah, Jimmy, I'm just joking." I said, "Jimmy, my name is Ronnie." He called me Jimmy because of my brother, my older brother Jimmy, and he was playing a trick on me based upon what Jimmy did to him. I mean, no, that ain't fair. So I owe Jimmy and Mr. Washington. But I hoped to graduate. When I graduated, I had no hope. I didn't have no future. I didn't have no vision. I didn't have no aspirations. I just was like lost. I believe that's a good word to call it, lost. There was nothing to desire for. There was nothing to look to. Just hopeless. But when I found the Lord, is anybody here? When I found the Lord, I hoped that everything was going to be better. And listen, it's been a wonderful journey. How many has had a great time with Jesus since you've been saved? He's everything I dreamed he would be. It's all I ever hoped for. For he gave a young man hope and direction and guidance and protection and peace and joy and love like I've never known. It's awesome to be saved. If you feel lost and away from God today, you need to know he's the God of hope. He's the God of hope. He will put hope where there's no hope at all. In fact, if you find yourself in a situation that's hopeless, put your trust in the Lord. Amen? In this hope, we were saved by faith. I didn't really know a lot about theology. Nobody said, you know, studying theology or soteriology, and you got to know this, and all these Christianese words, you know, sanctification and redemption and repentance. I didn't know none of that. All I knew was I needed some help. I needed Jesus. And I want you to know that you are a candidate to get saved. If you're here today and you've wasted your life, no matter if it's 18 years or 80, you are a candidate to find salvation. Amen? And hope will come into your heart. We're saved by hope, right? And what we've learned in this series, I hope you've learned something. He's the God of hope. He's that my hope and your hope is real. It's based upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. I didn't really even know what he did. I knew Jesus died on the cross. You know, he hung in the church where I attended once a year for midnight mass. And I went over there kind of, you know, already tipsy. It's midnight. Nobody told me we had to be saved, like saved. Can I tell you, going to church does not make you saved. People go to church all the time. In fact, this morning, churches are filled to capacity with lost people. But boy, when you find Jesus, how many know you find hope? Boy, your life changes and joy comes in and peace comes in and you have a future that's greater than your past. So religiosity is not going to get it. You can worship idols all the way through your church. But when you come to Christ, how many know everything changes? We are not conformed to this world, but we're not condemned by God because we have hope in Jesus Christ. And we can live a life pleasing to God. Hebrews 11:6 said, hey, if you come to God, he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he has, that you have hope, that he rewards those who seek him. If you seek him, you will find him. Trust me. He will give you hope. You can be led by the Holy Spirit of God. He's the God of hope. He puts all of that in you. In fact, you couldn't even come to Christ except the Holy Spirit draw you. So he hoped in me before I ever hoped in him. We're known as the children of God. So we cry, Abba, Father, because he has grafted me into the relationship. All because of Jesus. He's the God of hope. He hoped in me when I couldn't hope in myself. Abba, Father. And one of these days, I hope to be resurrected with a perfect body, a head full of hair. I don't know what you hope for. I don't know if January brought some new hope for you. Maybe you hope to lose weight. Maybe you hope to get more devoted to Christ this year. Whatever your hope is, can I tell you, it's not wishful thinking. Hope is deeper than that. Hope is putting your life and your confidence and your trust in the Lord, the God of hope. He's the God of all hope. And the real hope is based entirely on what he's already done. You can't add one thing to make your hope any more real. I didn't do anything to get saved. He just saved me. Is anybody glad to be saved this morning? I hope that you are. Here's the truth, though. I've learned of decades of following Jesus. Even though our hope is real, we might not realize our hope is real. And saying it is one thing, but realizing it's real is another thing. So you got to hold on to that redemption. And Paul says it many times. He said, hold fast to that commitment you made to Christ. Hold on to hope. Hold on to redemption. It's real. How many thought serving Jesus is real? It's not a figment of my imagination. The reason it's hard is because you don't see him. Our God of hope is an invisible God. So it's easier to put your hope in what you can see. If I were to sit on this stool, I hope it would hold me up. But I see that it's pretty sturdy. It's decent. This one's not as sturdy as that one, but I'm going to give it a shot. I see that it'll hold me up. So I sit. I hope it holds me. Oh, it did. Oh, great. But if I don't see it, it'd be like backing up, and I hope it's there. I hope it's there. Oh, it's not there, right? So hope is found in believing what you don't see. So anybody, you heard our scripture, if you see it, there's really no need for hope. I didn't really hope it was there. I saw it. I knew it was there. But when hope and faith work hand in hand, because faith is the substance of things, hope for the evidence of things not seen. So it's the unseeing that makes us feel like it's not real. And in our American culture, scientific culture, we want to see it, taste it, feel it, hear it, smell it. We wanted all of our senses to be engaged in it. And if we can't feel it, touch it, see it, hear it, smell it, it must not be a reality. But I want you to know, it's real. How many know Jesus is real? I told my pastor one time, Bobby Wilson, Pueblo, Colorado, he's approaching the end of his life now. What a wonderful legacy and legend he has been. But he's been my mentor now for 20 years, but we've already spent more time together in the physical realm together than Bobby and I have in 20 years. I've already been longer with you in this service today than I have been with my pastor in 20 years. Most of our time was on the phone, you know, or whatever, long distance. But he loves me. Here's what I told him one day. How can we have this love relationship and I have never been with you in physical? I think we might have had one dinner, huh, Melissa, one time. He came to preach a missions convention for me. We had one dinner in 20 years. And he said, oh, Ron, that's easy. He said, love supersedes time and eternity. He said, you love Jesus, don't you? I said, yes, sir. He said, when's the last time you had lunch with Jesus? I was thinking, Pastor is getting old. But I get it. Your relationship with God is real. You understand that? It's by faith. He is here, my friend. And my hope every time you meet is that he is with us, right? And if my hope is real, how can I know? That's the basis of this thought. I can know by faith, even though I don't see it. It begins with salvation. This is the hope that we have. We're saved, right? Literally, we don't have any real hope before salvation. Not really much. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. 1 Peter 1:3. He caused us to be born again to a new and living hope, to a new way of living. And that's why I was able to pick up and walk with Jesus and carry the cross and pick up the burden and walk with him every day, because he gives us hope, a living hope. Without him, we're really dead in sin. But because he died for sin, I can live without sin. Now, all of us have sin we have to deal with because of this earthly life, right? And we've been marred from the garden. We've all been marred with sin, born into iniquity, right? But in relationship with Christ, if we walk in the Spirit, it gives us hope to not walk after the flesh. You can be saved, and you are being saved, and you will be saved. How many know you can make it all the way in Christ Jesus? That's the hope we have. And so we need to spend more time understanding this, because he is our hope. My aim is to raise hopes by pointing the way to life without end. This is the life God promised long ago, Paul said, and he doesn't break his promises. That's the Message Bible, Titus chapter 1, verse 2. It says again, my aim is to raise hopes by pointing the way to life without end. This is the life God promised long ago, and he doesn't break his promises. Do you know, since I've been saved, the Lord has kept me. How many glad to be kept? Not only does he have saving power, he has keeping power. So we don't believe in unconditional eternal security, but we do know there's hope in Jesus. As long as you stay with him, he will lead you. But you have to be led. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. You understand that? So if you're in a state of rebellion, you don't want to be led, you're not going to go into the places of comfort where the good shepherd would take you. You resist it and you pull back on it, you're not going to know the blessing and precious ways of God. He will open that to you. So if you hadn't had that experience, you have no hope outside of God's mercy. My prayer today is before the end of the service, you would find Jesus. Hey, listen, that's the greatest thing you'll ever do, right? So before anything else, it said in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. How many found God to be faithful? Because he's the God of all hope, and he wants you to make it. Amen? Secondly, I know my hope is real because I must open my spiritual eyes to see that it's real. Spiritual eyes. Because it's unseen by the natural eye, you're not going to really hope in the natural. Listen, if you just look at the natural realm, you're going to be hopeless. But if you open your eyes to see what God has for you, you will be filled with hope. Amen? He's a God of hope, and he wants you to make it. He realized that hope is not like anything else. It's real, but we can't see it. It's like a sixth sense. And only through the Spirit can we comprehend this living hope. It's through the Holy Spirit. So that's why we're talking about open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my spirit so I can see what I would not normally see with my eyes. How many have trouble with your vision? You have to have glasses. Anybody? A couple of you? Well, just let me tell you, the older you get, this body is wasting away, Paul said, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. This body is wasting away, but inside, your spirit is being renewed day by day. In case you were wondering, young people, hold on to your muscles while you can, because they too will drop. And hold on to that pretty little hair you got. When Melissa and I were dating in high school, boy, I had hair down, and I had that feathered look all the way back. We have pictures to prove it if you don't believe me. When I got married, I had, my goodness, and I'm glad she fell for it. I hope she didn't hope I had hair all the days of my life. But listen what he says here. Hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees, right? The Bible says that hope is the very essence of our faith. We're absolutely convinced inside of this unseen hope. Abraham hoped against hope. He took off heading for a place he never knew it was about. He came home. God spoke to him. He went home and said, hey, Sarah, pack your bags. Where are we going, honey? He said, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, God said leave. We're going over to that country. What country? I don't know. Pack your bags, sweetheart. And she did. And they went. But he also has talked about Abraham. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. It was the God of hope who led Abraham, right? And that's why he was known for hoping against hope in Romans 4:18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said, so shall your offspring be. God spoke a word, he believed, had hope for the future, and it came to pass, and there you are. Seed of Abraham. Look at your neighbor and say, did you know you were the seed of Abraham? Come on, tell him. You look like Abraham. Yes, you do. So it might seem like so much mumbo jumbo, right? But really, until you realize this hope is real, that we experience, feel it, and know it, it comes to us through the Holy Spirit living inside of us. The how-to of Romans 12:12. It says, rejoice in our confident hope, the God of hope. Rejoice in this confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. Three things he tells us to do, right? Very simple. Open your spiritual eyes, he said. So if you connect the first one and the third one, he said, be patient and keep on praying. So here's the deal. Why do people give up hope, Pastor Ron? Well, tribulation comes and trouble comes and you get a setback or two and you don't see how you're going to make it. I don't see how I'm going to make my bills. I don't see who I'm going to find as a mate for the rest of my life. I don't know if I'm going to graduate from college. I don't know if I'm going to stay and go into this and go and do that or whatever. I don't see it. But in the faith, you have to believe it. That's the hope we have, right? It's the process of seeing with spiritual eyes that God can open for you. Praying is like spiritual LASIK eye surgery. It helps you see without glasses. Bible plus prayer is a combo that keeps our eyes open. If you believe this book, I believe God has spoken to us through his word. He is the God of all hope. And if you believe God is for you and not against you, how many thinks you're going to make it? Of course you are. That's the hope we have, to know it's real. That's the point. And there's no substitute for patience, which is the third part of that, which is our third point. Oh, back up, buddy. I must patiently wait in my adversity. So if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. We wait for it with patience. Now listen, how many hopes that the Lord will come soon? Come on, how many? Let me see your hand. How many we wait and hope? That's why they call it the blessed hope. But is he here? Not as we are talking about, not in the eschaton, not in the end. It's not like the rapture is here. So what do? We wait with patience. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The whole point of this text is not to give up. You can't give up. If being part of hope is to patiently wait. Wait and pray. You heard Jesus say, watch and pray. What are we watching for? What are we waiting for? We're waiting for Jesus. The reality of what we already know to be real. We're waiting for the reality of what we already know to be real. How many know Jesus is real? I know you ain't going to have lunch with him, but he's real. I know he's not sitting next to you, but he really is. He's real. He's more real than the person next to you. You just have to see it with your spiritual eyes. And we live in a hurry-up society, so we expect everything instantly. We even want our oats and our grits instant. Instant grits. How gross is that? Water, done. And without butter, who wants it? Man, it's not fast enough. It's like even instant grits, you're like at the microwave, like, oh, come on. Really? Listen, I want you to know, you do not need to go on a missions trip. You're going to Romania, my friend? Let me tell you, we're heading to Romania in June, and I just got back from Nepal. This is the theme in missions. Hurry up and wait. Get in the van, get in the van, get in the van. Okay, here's 15 of us. Y'all get in the van. Van won't start. What are you talking about? It's 3 in the morning. Where were we going anyway? I had a new convert. I took a new convert with me to Mexico one our first trip. And she seemed sincere. She wanted to go on the missions trip. She gave her heart to Jesus. I mean, no, you give your heart to Jesus, there's hope. But she hadn't worked out all the bugs of her previous life. So we had one of those moments, a chaotic moment on the mission field where the van broke down 3 in the morning. She said, Pastor, would you please let me out of this van? I'm having a nicotine fit. I said, make way. Give that girl what she needs. She's going to kill us all. Not enough. It's just emails have killed the postal service. Once considered remarkable for the ability to deliver something the next day. Now, though, even emails are not fast enough. Instant messaging. FaceTime. Like you couldn't wait for the phone to ring and me to pick it up in about 2 seconds. No. Beep, 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 beep. Oh, there you are. When it comes to developing faith and hope in the midst of adverse situations, there's nothing instant about it. Have you ever been in a trial that lasted more than 2 minutes? Have you ever been in an elongated trial that lasted more than 10 days, 2 months, 1 year, half your life? Patience. Patience is just as big as anything else. There's a maturing process that happens in the waiting time. It's fast-driven culture. We tend to rely upon everything we own and our gadgets and our tools. And you know, the worst moment for young people today is, I can't get online. I mean, absolutely paralyzed. Frozen! Is your internet working? Is your internet working? Oh, ha! Oh, how I remember the pager days. Remember Miss Carol? I would travel from my church in Rayville to Monroe, 30 miles, and go to the hospital, and I'd have a pager. It was like on my belt, really cool. High tech, my friends. And so, bzzz, I just check it out. I'd stop at Sam's, Brother David, right next to your church there at Evangel. Sam's Wholesale had I know you don't know what this is, but an outdoor telephone. They don't have those no more. Maybe they do, but rarely. This one didn't have a cover. So in the rain, it was like, Miss Carol, you need, yeah, go back to the hospital. Somebody else said, okay, thank you, bye. What technology it was. Saved me 30 minutes of driving back to the interstate. So, but through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. Galatians 5:5. We eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. Do you understand? Ron Moran has no righteousness in and of himself. My righteousness is in Christ Jesus. If there's any good thing in me, it's Jesus. Anything else, it's Melissa. And I'm just telling you that we have to grow up, right? When things go wrong, our gadgets and tools fail us. In those quiet, alone moments, we recognize the truth of our utter reliance upon Christ and His Spirit. Quiet times, where our spiritual eyes are open, we see real hope for what it is. When things go down and your gadgets break, what about when people betray you or leave you lonely? What about losses? What about your boss who says, I don't think I need you anymore? What about your spouse that left you for another? What about your grades? What about your finances that you invested it all and lost it? Those are the moments which your eyes ought to be open. Because you can't lose hope. If you lose hope, you see, I think Satan's number one trick is to render the church hopeless. It's not trying to take your faith, my friend. He's trying to get your hope. See, because your faith comes from the Lord. Come on now. He gave it to you. And Satan can't take anything that God gives you. But your hope, your joy, some of those things he tries to take. So if he renders you hopeless and you believe it, then you will give up and throw in the towel. It's not worth it. I give up on my marriage. I give up on my church. I give up on the world. I give up on America. I give up on my grades. I give up on my job. I can't do this. I mean, no, the devil is a liar. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. You're the head and not the tail. The one you serve is the God of all hope, who disperses hope in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will help you see what you can't see, because if you only see what you can see, it's temporary. It's temporary. Paul calls it this light affliction. These trials, these adversities, he calls them light afflictions. They're light. Now listen, I don't know if you know what he went through, but this brother went through beatings, shipwrecks, abandonment, betrayal, left for dead, perils of the ocean and perils of the land. Family forsook him. Everybody, his friends left him, deserted on every way. Thorn in the flesh he couldn't get rid of. Yet he has the audacity to say, in my weakness he is made strong. He's not giving up hope. Look at Job. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's a deep-seated hope that only comes from patience. So don't you love the dynamic of that eagerly wait? We call it something else, hurry up and wait, right? On mission trips. But it describes our situation when it comes to real hope. We lose hope in everything that we cannot control. If you can't control it, you don't put your hope in it. But when things get out of control, how many know that's when you engage in maturity and you trust the sovereign God of all hope? He describes it. Go, when we lose hope, he takes control, right? And real hope is in Jesus, the hope of righteousness. Ultimately, he sets everything right. So while we wait for the blessed hope, the great appearing of our Lord and Savior, we need to understand there's real hope. Jesus is coming. I said, Jesus is coming. You know, if we really believed Jesus was coming, if Jesus is really coming soon, then what do I need money for? Why does money bother me? Why does the reputation? Why do I need that? I'm a dead man walking. And I got good news for you. If you die to yourself and live for Jesus, you will discover that hope. Because dead men don't bleed. You can't really kill a dead man. They told the Apostle Paul, you keep preaching in Jesus' name, we're going to put you in jail. Oh, he said, would you please? I almost had the Philippian jailer won to the Lord. Wait. Don't put him in jail. He's a crazy man. Kill him. Take his head. Oh, he said, thank you so much. I was torn between the two, whether to go be with the Lord or stay and win the world. You just can't do anything with a dead man. Die to self. Pick up your cross daily and walk with Christ. Walk in maturity. And the last thing is I must engage with the living hope. So the living hope is the Spirit of God within. So how do I engage? I have to engage in the Spirit. There's nothing else I can do but rely on the Holy Spirit. Amen? He is the one that's going to take me where I need to go. So it may sound like there's nothing you can do to cause yourself to possess this real hope, but it's farther from the truth. Two cycles of things that work to make you know that your hope is real, okay, in this last part. And it causes us to engage with the living hope inside of us, the Spirit of God. And the more we engage with the Spirit, the more hopeful we are. So remember the advice of Romans 12:12, to keep on praying. If you do this, God promises to be with you. In fact, in Mark, I think it was in Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not lose heart. That's to keep on keeping on. Don't lose heart. Don't quit. And then in Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy. Listen to this. Fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can overflow with hope through the Holy Spirit. Engage in the Holy Spirit. He is more than a doctrine. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. You engage with the Holy Spirit through praying in the Spirit. Jude said, hey, keep yourselves in the love of God. Praying in the Spirit, that builds yourself up in the most holy faith. You will keep going if you keep praying and engaging in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help you see in the supernatural what you don't see in the natural. Because what you see in the natural could take away your faith and your hope. But if you keep your hope in God, you're going to make it. God himself is the hope. Jesus is the hope we must engage in, right? Through the Holy Spirit. He's the God of hope. The more you know about God, the more you're going to know about hope. The more you read his word, the more hope is going to come into your spirit. And as you engage with him, filled with joy and peace, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the adversity, he fills you with joy and peace, but he overflows you with hope. So he fills you with joy and peace to keep you going. But he overflows you with the hope, with the idea that I'm going to make it. That God is working a far more exceeding weight of glory. So the weight is not the pressure. The weight is the glory. You've got to exchange in your mind what's really going on. Don't succumb to the pressure of this weight. Release in the Spirit the power of this weight. And the things which are temporary will go away. And the things which are eternal, they will mean something. It's the glory of God. And that's how we do it. And there's one thing too. Cannot leave without telling you this. It's to share our hope with others. For you to be filled with hope is just so, I don't know, self-centered, alone. I mean, I'm glad if you make it. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is that we share the hope we have. It's Christ in you, the hope of all creation. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's God of hope is in you, so when you're around somebody else, you can speak life and give hope to them. So in turn, they too can make it. You can't hang around with me for at least 2 minutes. We're going to talk about Jesus. Listen, I don't have a whole lot to talk about. I'm blessed and I'm thanking God. But anything I have, any advice, anything I have, any help I have, is super duper limited. If you want to pick my brain, you'll be done in 30 seconds. But if you want what I have in the Spirit, you will follow God for a lifetime. That hope, my hope is in him. And I want to share it, to put the words into action, to explain our way of living to other people. 1 Peter 3:15 says it this way. And Chrissy, you can come back to the platform, baby. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. People are going to ask you, Max, why do you have such hope in such terrible situation? And you give them the reason. How many know Jesus is the reason? Sounds so spiritual, so trite, you know. If all you do is say, I'm born again and walk away, you know, then you told them who you are. But if you tell them who he is, how many know you give them hope? If you tell them the reason, when people ask me, hey, Ronnie, when I was 18, hey, Ronnie, why don't you go out with us anymore? I said, I found a new way of living. I said, I found a new way of living. I'm high on the Most High. I found the God of hope. I don't need nicotine. I don't need weed. I don't need alcohol. I don't need anything but Jesus. I said, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. I don't need a new car. I don't need another house. I don't need another relationship. I don't need another church to pastor. This one's good enough. You should have said amen, all of you. But you missed it. God will overflow you with hope. And you can share it. It doesn't mean you talk about your faith all the time to people who are not interested. Rarely do I do that. I can tell if somebody's interested or not. And I will share my faith, my hope, with people who do not seem to be interested. I have and I will continue. But boy, if anybody has an inkling of a desire to know Jesus, I have all the time you need. I will talk to you about him at the restaurant. I will talk to you about him in the parking lot. I will wait in the grocery store line to tell you all about Jesus. At the bank, the post office. Everywhere I go and every time I meet somebody, I want to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the hope of glory. Always in this scripture is to be prepared to give an answer. Always thinking about how you could explain it. And in that preparedness, your faith becomes much more real. I know that Jesus lives in my heart because I'm excited about it. Some of you maybe might be more excited about next Sunday night's game than you were about Jesus. If next Sunday night in your living room, you shout and carry on and dance and shame on you because you didn't do it this morning. If next Sunday night and the Patriots and some other team, the Falcons are playing and you get crazy and throw popcorn everywhere, God help you, because you found something that stirs your emotion more than Jesus, and that ain't right. So I don't mind sports, and I'll be throwing popcorn next Sunday night too, but it ain't gonna get more than Jesus. I said, if I give it all, I'm giving it all. How many's ready to give it all to Jesus? Come on, if you're ready to give it all to Jesus, I want you to stand to your feet all over this place, because there's a hope. And you know it's real. It's real. It's real. And it's found in Christ alone. If you're a follower of Jesus and you already have this hope, whether you realize it or not, I invite you to connect and reconnect with God. If you have not been following Jesus, I invite you this morning to connect with Jesus. Find the hope worth living for. He thought you were so awesome. He thought you were worth him dying for. So if he thought I was worth him dying for, I think he's worth me living for. Maybe today you want to reconnect with Jesus. Maybe you lost your hope. Maybe you're going through an adverse situation and Satan's trying to take your joy and your peace. I'm going to open the altar because we got 10 minutes. Hey, we're ahead of game. We're ahead of the game. We're ahead of the game. If you missed your moment to pray and to seek God and to worship a minute ago, don't beat yourself in the head. Just put him number one in your life. How many know he wants to be number one? Rekindle that spiritual foresight, insight that is in you through the Holy Spirit. And that's how you will rekindle the hope you have in Christ. If you want to receive Christ, I invite you to come today. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, I invite you to come and pray. We'll be glad to pray with you, our prayer partners, some of our staff. Come on up, because I know somebody's going to respond.